I'm really grateful for the praise team, aren't you? I have learned three very important letters in the last year and a few months, and those letters are actually they're two letters, but those letters are CDC. Did you ever hear of the CDC? And I heard, like you did, about restrictions being lifted on Thursday, which is great. We're excited about that. We're waiting on New Jersey to catch up. When New Jersey catches up, we will be right where we hope to be. So I just want to encourage you in that. Why do we still have guidelines here? Well, because New Jersey has guidelines. So I just want you to keep that in mind. Also, I want you to keep in mind that I have the text for the scripture in my sermon today. I don't have my Bible with me. My Bible is over there. I left it over there by the wall, and I don't know how to graciously go over there without you noticing. So here we are. But we are in the Bible today, promise. So let's bow our heads and pray. Mighty God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the way that you're working in our life and how you have brought us from where we are, brought us from where we were to where we are. We're grateful for signs of new life. We're grateful for Jack and Allie as they've confessed their faith in you today and been baptized. We're grateful for the way you have touched our hearts in so many ways, in so many different ministries over these last months. And we look forward, Lord, to all that you have for us. Today, teach us some of these travel tips we're talking about. And for that, we'll be grateful forever in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to take a look with me at the first part of Jonah today, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, and then we're going to take some time to get a feel for who Jonah was and what he's going through, okay? That was a question, okay? Okay, so because what Jonah's going through is what we have all gone through many, many times in our life, and that's why we're looking at this. So let's take a look at Jonah 1 and 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh, and preach against it, because its wickedness has come upon me, has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord. I'll say that again. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Everybody say Tarshish. I love it when you do that. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. Now, after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us so that we'll not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots," kind of like rolling dice, "to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who's responsible for making this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now this terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had told them that already. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. So keep that passage on the back burner of your brain, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about Jonah. He was a very popular figure in his day, which is about 800 to 750 BC, about that many years before Jesus was born. He was a chaplain for King Jeroboam II, the best and the most godly king Israel had since King Solomon. There'd been a lot of God-pleasing reform which had happened in Jeroboam's reign. Jonah led and he preached in the highest courts and the social circles of the land. He was literally the Billy Graham of his day. Billy Graham, by the way, was the best-known international Christian evangelist of the 20th century. Jonah had a powerful voice and influence. Everyone wanted to hear what Jonah had to say. I'm not sure about this particular thing. You might have to look it up. But he might have even been the first person to ever appear on Oprah Winfrey's show. That could be possible, okay? He was a big deal. People wanted to hear from him. Now, God asked the influential and powerful preacher to do something which was contrary to the whole of Jewish society, culture, and theology. You see, this period of time is what one could call the narrowest-minded understanding of the Jewish faith ever. Jonah had grown up under teaching which stated that the Jews were not only God's people, they were the only people. They looked at anyone else outside of them as irretrievably lost heathens who could never experience God's favor. Even if the non-Jews wanted to follow, they never would be able to. That was the teaching of the time. In short, the Jewish teaching of the time said, if you were not a Jew, you were hopelessly lost, and there was nothing, nothing you could do about it. So what does God ask? He asks Jonah to go to the Jews' hated adversaries, the pagans in Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, a culture that had caused great trouble for Jonah's people for years and years. And he told Jonah to spread the word of God to them because they were far from God and he wanted a relationship with those people. Now at this time, like I said before, a Jew would never think or desire of doing this. They were lost already, weren't they? It was too late for them. I imagine that Jonah said something like, sorry, Lord, but nothing can be done. We read in verses 1-3 that in response to God's call, Jonah did the exact opposite thing of what God had called him to do. And every Jew would have supported him in running away from God. You go, Jonah. You know what's right. God will figure it out sooner or later. And he gets a ticket on a boat going to the foreign land of Tarshish, which doesn't seem like a big deal as far as the travel goes until you get a grasp of the geography. Keep in mind, you didn't need a boat to get to Nineveh from where Jonah was. Jonah was in his hometown of Gath Hepher. Nineveh is about 550 miles, which way does this go? 550 miles east of Gath Hepher. It's all on land. He actually goes west to the port city of Joppa. He buys a ticket on a ship that's headed to Tarshish, which is approximately 2,600 miles from Joppa. It's on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, what we know now as Spain, near the mouth of the Atlantic Ocean. When God called Jonah, Jonah responded immediately by trying to get 3,150 miles away in the other direction. At the time, Tarshish was a place that he could go in the world that was farthest away from where God had called him. You couldn't really go any farther. Now, why is that important? Well, at this time, the Jews believed that God would not speak to them, or they couldn't hear God if they were in a foreign land because he had been disconnected. He goes to a foreign land. He can't hear God because of that. And so now he's got an excuse. Sorry, God, I can't hear you, so I have no idea what you want me to do. Now, I'm wondering today, folks, Have you ever done something like that? Pretended that you were disconnected from God so you couldn't hear him? Leaving you free to do whatever it was you wanted? Truth is, nobody really has a problem doing what God asked them to do if it's something they really want to do, right? Right? Sure. But it gets dicey when God calls us to do something we really don't want to do. Jonah said, Lord, you don't love these people. They aren't us. Why do you want me to waste my time and tell them about you? It makes no sense. It makes me uncomfortable as all get out. They don't get to be part of us anyway. So today we're going to look at Jonah's short-lived trip to Tarshish, the place where he tried to get away from God. In other words, what are the dynamics that happen in our lives when we run away from God? And in this pandemic world, since things are opening up again and people are traveling more, I thought we could talk about 10 travel tips for Tarshish. Okay, first one, travel tip. Arrangements for the wrong destination can be easily made. Have you ever made arrangements for the wrong destination? The easiest thing Jonah could do was find a ship going to the opposite place. Let's be honest. If any one of us wanted at any time to be disobedient to God, would it be all that difficult to find people and activities that could assist us along the way? A runaway teenager was being interviewed in Los Angeles after running away from his parents' Midwest home. Things were so hard in this runaway's life in LA that he had to resort to stealing to get something to eat. The only easy thing, he said, was leaving my home in Nebraska. Everything else has been miserable and hard. Disobeying God is easy, folks. Anybody can do it with no trouble at all. Go ahead, be a rebel. Ooh, big deal. Anybody can do that. It's easy. It's the consequences we have to deal with that gets tough. Another tip. Number two, it costs more to go second class. God's call is first class. If we choose to go our own way, well, that's second class. And second class gets pretty expensive. Jonah went to Joppa, paid for the fare, got on the boat. Now, if left to our own devices, we all probably from time to time would rather lay down a few shekels to disobey God rather than obey him. It's easier. It's in our nature. And that nature wants us to be in control, so we tend to get contrary with God. The safest place we can be is when we're located where God wants us. I'll say that again. The safest place that we can be is when we are located where God wants us. The most dangerous place we can be is when we do our own thing and pay the fare of the consequences. Don't go second class. It'll cost you. Third tip, you really can't get away from it all. You know, in all those travel brochures, you'll surely find a theme. You can get away from it all, right? You've seen those. Break through the cloud cover. Dive deep into sparkling water. Go to the highest ski trail. Get away from it all. Except that when you have a one-way ticket to Tarshish, you can't get away from it all because you'll find out what Jonah found. And that is, wherever you go, God will be there. Why? Because Jonah is part of God's plan, and God's not going to give up on Jonah that easily. If you find yourself far from God in one or more areas of your life, God's not giving up on you. He didn't give up on Jonah. He's not going to give up on you. Yeah, he'll hound you. He'll allow you to have an emptiness in your heart that only he can fill. He'll allow you to have a general sense of unsettledness while you run away. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you back. God does not quit on you so easily. Fourth tip, your baggage may not arrive at the right destination, right? They threw it overboard. When we run away from God, we all lose the things that we thought were so important in our life. When we run away from God, the very things we fought for, the very things we valued that are so incredibly important get tossed away by us or somebody else quicker than we could ever imagine. When we're on a trip of disobedience to Tarshish, we end up losing what we thought was so important to take with us. The overly confident girl who runs off with her boyfriend, with whom she is so enamored and love-struck, soon finds out that he's selfish that he snores and he has occasional bad breath. And she begins to doubt the confidence that she used to have. The guy who loves his family but descends into the world of drugs soon finds out that the high that he gets isn't so high, but the lows he gets are even lower than he imagined while he loses his family. The person who wants to do good in the world but gets through life telling little white lie after little white lie and begins to see that there are too many lies to remember. And he gets upset at people who catch him or her lying and soon discovers there's no time to do any good. On the trip to Tarshish, what you value ends up at the bottom of the sea. Tip number 5, you'll be disturbed by the crew. When we're traveling away from God, someone will eventually confront us about it and want to know what in the world is going on. And no matter how much we try to convince ourselves otherwise, private disobedience always affects other people besides ourselves. Dads and moms, your sin affects your family. Kids, your sin affects your parents and your siblings and your friends. Our sin affects others. It is never, ever private. 6th tip, you'll be given personal attention. Our sin will not only affect others, but it will find us out. It will be exposed and disclosed. Here, Jonah thinks he's free and clear on the ship headed to Disobedienceville, and he ends up putting the lives of everyone on board in danger. The lots fall on Jonah, so he has a lot to fess up about what's going on. I don't think anybody on the ship would consider him their best friend at that point. They're in a bad fix because of him. Disobedience has left him all alone and at this point in need of a good swimming instructor. 7th tip, you'll have to show your passport. That is to say, sooner or later, you're going to have to identify yourself. When we're on the way to Tarshish, God will eventually make us identify who we are and what we are doing or what we have done to help us to understand just how much damage we're doing. I love the illustration that Dr. David Siemens tells about years ago, a pastor friend who was a young pastor who he knew was supposed to go visit a elderly couple in his congregation, and on that particular day, he forgot. He just plain forgot. Have you ever forgotten anything? Raise your hand if you've forgotten something in your life. It's okay, right? Pastors forget things too, by the way. So just to put that out there. And so he forgot. So he was a young pastor. He didn't want to look bad. He didn't want to look dumb. So he called this couple and he said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't come today. A phone call came in. I had an emergency and I couldn't come. Can I come tomorrow?" And they said, "Of course, Pastor, no problem." He lied to make himself look good. Well, the next day he goes to this couple's house. He sits down with them in their living room. He's talking and visiting. And he for the last 24 hours, guilt has been eating at him. He has lied to these people, and he knows he's not going to be able to live with it. So he finally decides to confess to them. And he says to this couple, he says, "I'm so sorry, I have to confess something to you. You see, yesterday I didn't have an emergency. I just forgot I was supposed to meet with you. And I didn't want to look bad because I'm new in the church and I feel so bad about it. I hope you can forgive me." Well, this couple were hard of hearing. And they said, "Pastor, we're sorry. We couldn't hear what you said. Would you say it again, but a little louder?" So he said, "I have a confession to make to you. I'm so sorry. I didn't have an emergency. I forgot, but I didn't want to look bad, so I lied. Would you please forgive me?" And the couple looked at each other. And they said, "Pastor, we're sorry, but we still couldn't quite hear that. Could you say it again?" And he said, "I have a confession to make to you. I'm very, very sorry. I thought I had told you I had an emergency. I didn't. I just forgot. I didn't want to look bad. Can you forgive me?" 4 more times he had to say it to them before they heard. He thought twice the next time before he told a lie, right? Why? He had to show his passport. He had to identify who he was. He had to come clean. Eighth tip, you may have to disembark immediately. You know, nothing corrects disobedience like obedience, but Jonah's life approach was rubbing off on the crew. Even though Jonah said, throw me overboard, that'll take care of the problem, they did everything but that. They tried to row against the high seas and got nowhere. In fact, Jonah has now inspired a whole new generation of disobedient people without even trying. Disobedience is contagious. And what does God say when we want to row against his will into the storm? You know what God says? God says, row, baby, row. Knock yourself out. You'll get it eventually. People often ask me what to do when they find themselves in a sin-caused situation, right? Either they lied or cheated or some other thing, and they're experiencing the consequences of that sin. And they say to me, what can I do to make this right? And I usually respond with some version of this. You have to repent, that is, you have to turn from what you're doing, you have to change, and you have to obey God. And their next question is, are there any other options than that? Nothing corrects rebellion like following God. You can book that. Ninth tip, there will be plenty of swimming for everyone. If we take a Tarshish journey, we get to go swimming in the deep end, folks. You know, in over 30 years of giving biblical and pastoral counsel to people, I can't emphasize this enough. When we choose to take a ship that's headed for Disobedienceville, we will eventually affect everyone on that ship and alienate those closest to us to the point where they may want to throw us overboard. Running away from God has an alienating effect that comes along with it. Think of all those times when you were in the wrong and you tried to hide it from other people, maybe even acting like everything was perfectly okay. But behind the facade, you knew how many levels of separation there were from others. That's what happens when God wants us to go to Nineveh and we decide to head 3,150 miles in the other direction for Tarshish. Tenth tip, your trip will be unforgettable. Often I've found people who have experienced that all wet consequences of running away from God like Jonah did to be quite interesting after they decided to come back to the one who loves them. I mean, what a great testimony they have when they can say, I was running away from God, I did some things I'm not proud of, but God never gave up on me. He kept at me until I returned. What an opportunity to help someone who may be going through a similar struggle. God rescued me, and he can do the same for you. You and I go through periods of rebellion because, well, first, we're rebellious creatures. We want to control our own lives. That's never a good thing. But God still wants us to use our former disobedience to help guide those who come after us. Whether it's 2,800 years ago, like we were with Jonah, or last week when a brother or sister Christian come back to the Lord, we can learn from the pitfalls they fell in and be on guard when the same comes our way. Jonah may not be happy about it, but people have benefited from his unsuccessful Tarshish trip for almost 3,000 years. I'd say God can use everything and everybody. So be encouraged by this. If you find yourself in the boat headed to Tarshish right now, the boat to Disobedienceville, and you feel like God has been working you over a little bit, it's because God still has hope for you. And God's not going to give up on you, so you can get used to it. We can run, but we can't hide. We can't hide from God's love. Just as the waves of the sea lap up on the shore with constant faithfulness, I told you the first time as a kid when I was amazed when I went to the beach in the wintertime that the waves still lapped up on the shore even in the wintertime when I wasn't there. Just as the sea laps up on the seashore with constant faithfulness, no matter the time of year, so does God's love break against the shoreline of your heart all the time. As long as Jonah heads to Tarshish, listen to this. As long as Jonah heads to Tarshish, Nineveh, the place he's supposed to go, is devoid of hope. Why is that? Well, because remember this, if we're in the wrong place, then the right place is still empty. So Let's fill up the right places in our lives. Let's fill them up by following the one who made us. Let's set the course to Nineveh. After all, my friends, my brothers and sisters in the household of faith, people need us. We can't let them down. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time where we come before you and are reminded that we all, at one time or another, maybe even right now in our own lives, are on a boat headed in the wrong direction from where you called us. We ask that you would forgive us. As we consider these 10 travel tips, we have experienced some of them already. We may experience more in the future. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask just to take a connecting ship back to Joppa so we can make our way to Nineveh, to the place where you called us. For Lord, where you call us, you'll do your work in us for the people to whom you've called us to. Lord, remind us that our disobedience leaves the right place that needs you empty. We don't want to do that anymore. We want to follow you. And for that, we'll thank you forever in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.